once again. My brothers and my sisters, in the name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord over all, Lord through all, Lord in all. He is the one that made everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And, you know, we remind each other of that because all of us are passing through this life and this world and the experiences of this life. And, you know, in the process, you know, don't forget that. Don't forget that we're passing through. That this is not our home. This world is not our home. And all the things that we go through here, good, bad, or otherwise, are all just experiences as part of the journey. But this is not our ultimate reality by any means. That said, today is the day of salvation. That said, today is the day that we can walk in truth. We can walk in light. We can walk in freedom. We can walk out of the matrix, and we can walk in that which is real and that which is true. Having some tea. I love this stuff. Okay. So, how are you? How goes your walk? How goes things in that which God has for you to do? You know, today I just kept getting nudged. It's time to speak, time to share, time to encourage one another in the truth, time to look to the author and the finisher of our faith in the midst of the journeys that we go through. You know, I went through... I think recently in these last few months and last maybe year and a half, I've gone through certain windows, certain struggles, you know, and I think sometimes I talk about some stuff, sometimes I wait until it's the time to talk about certain things, but definitely, you know, I've come through my own challenge in, you know, in my faith and in my walk with Christ. My challenge in, I went through a pretty rough period of just wondering, you know, wondering as far as like when God was speaking to me. I know there's a set of people out there right now that are saying, yes, and so now you need to listen to me because I will tell you what to do. No. Hold your horses there for a minute there, buddy. When you walk with God, one thing that happens go back through the scriptures. Abraham, when God sent him out, scripture says he went out not knowing where he was going. And we read the story, we read what happened, we read, it's very easy to read 13 years in a few chapters. So, you know, sometimes when we go through the scriptures, it's not necessarily fair to the person living that out because we just kind of read through it, in a nice chair and sipping a cup of coffee or tea or in a very safe environment. We don't actually live that piece out. But when you live it, when you're actually living it out, you can experience some of the things that these guys experience too in the journey. Think about Joseph. I mean, God gives Joseph a dream as a teenager, and at 17, this guy's sold into slavery by his own brothers and is held captive in a foreign land, and all of the things that end up taking place to him there before, you know, in a moment of time, everything else changes. And in that moment, when everything else changes, all of a sudden, you know, at 30, he's the second highest ruler in the nation. Not without struggles or trials after that, mind you. It's not like he just got promoted and then all of a sudden all of his issues went away. He's had a whole different set of things that he was going to have to deal with at the level he was going to work. But all of it is a challenge. All of it is opposition. All of it is part and parcel of the lives that we live while we're in the earth. Now, in the midst of that, there are going to be seasons and times where we have trials of our faith. And a trial of our faith is that trial is that time where you wonder, did you wonder what in the world is going on? You know, we will have that. I guarantee you, you will have that. What in the world is going on? Questions. And you know who feeds into that too? The devil feeds into that too. All the way back in the garden. Did God really say, you know, not to eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say? Did God really? You see what I'm saying? So there will be times when we start going in with a certain expectation of what we believe should happen in life, what we believe should happen in the context that we're in, what we believe is supposed to take place. And when we start going through some disillusion, and that disillusion can come through the circumstances that we face, it can come through unfulfilled expectations and hopes, because hope deferred makes a heart sick. So when the heart is sick, it's disillusioned as well. It is, you know, broken. It is, so you go through that. And in the midst of that, the accuser of the brethren, the one that is sent to oppose that which we do and does with all of the resources that he has, the devil, he shows up and tries to sow those seeds of doubt into our heads, saying, you know, did God really say? And how often have people quit? How often have people given up? How often have people just thrown in the towel because that press just gets to be too much? That press gets to be, it's just an overload. It's too much. And in themselves, they just collapse and they faint because, I mean, how much can any one person take? How much opposition can any one person stand or deal with? How can you think about Job? Think about Job. I mean, here it is. You know, here's a man that for his whole life, as best he knew how, had sought to serve the living God. And in the midst of that, all of a sudden, just this flurry of bad news that comes into his life. And one set of livestock's gone, one set of livestock's gone. Before, as scripture talk about in that first chapter of Job, how before even the other messenger could finish the words coming out of his mouth, the next one comes in with the next set of bad news. Oh, by the way, all your kids are dead. You know, by the way, this happened. By the way, this. I just boom, 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 boom. And once he catches his breath, and he just weeps and he goes through all of that. Then the next round shows up where, because he hadn't cursed God as the devil said that he would. And once he goes into that next round, then the devil says, well, you know, I tell you what, if I can strike his body, and God says, well, you got to spare his life, but you know. So he couldn't take his life, but he was allowed to do a whole lot of other horrible things to him. And Job went through just some excruciating experiences. And in the midst of that, imagine the disillusion. Now, I have plenty of brothers and sisters out there that have had some measure of that. Some measure of these other things. And when we read the scriptures, we see others that have gone through. And that's their, in part for our encouragement, but it's also there for us to have a realization that this is, that there are things like this that can become very much a part of the journey. Now, the scriptures are there as an owner's manual for our life. It's kind of like, you know, when you need to find a solution, or when you need to know how to navigate through this world, it's there. You know, recently I wanted to cook a couple different things. And, you know, I just went and searched and searched online and just asked for some, look for how do I cook something specific, and found the answer there, and, worked out a recipe and acted on it. And there's a lot of things in the scriptures like that for your life, where you'll have an idea, or you'll have something you're struggling with, or you need an answer to a question. And as you ask God, as you ask the Holy Spirit, and you open the scriptures, God will very, very, very often direct you to exactly what you need for whatever it is that you're dealing with at the time. And it's an owner's manual to your life. You would do well to read it. You would do well to listen to it. And honestly, there's some times where I just do not feel like reading. But also there's times when I know I still need the word. And I just turn. We live in a day and an age where you have audio Bibles. And you can just put the audio on and let it play. You know, sometimes I'll just let that play before I go to sleep or while I'm going to sleep. Sometimes I'll just let it play while I'm cooking. I let that word get out there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Put that word out there, but let that word soak in, because there's life and instruction and truth and things that will feed your soul in that. But it's life to the follower of Christ. It's a blessing to the follower of Christ. Okay, so in the midst of this, right? In the midst of this, how now, so when we go through those periods of disillusion and struggle, what do you do and how do you approach it? Because they're gonna show up. And, you know, one thing that God kind of spoke to me recently in the midst of a struggle that I was going through, I was struggling with one specific thing, which was even for myself. It was how God would speak to me. Because I was very confident in the way that God would speak through me on behalf of others. Because I'd been very familiar with that and very confident in that. And there's been promises that God has given me even in that regard and in Him using me that way on behalf of others. So that's not been ever a question or an issue, you know, in this times that I've been in. I mean, you know, sometimes it's you know, more pronounced than others, but I've usually had a pretty good assurance in that area. But I kind of went through this window of, you know, struggling internally with how God would speak to me on my own behalf and in the life that I'm living here. And the things that I'm doing right now. And there was one instruction that God gave me that's, you know, I share with you now, but one thing that He spoke to me is just go with what you know. And go with what you know. And when you're in that place where you're not sure, where you don't have that confidence, because your confidence has been shaken because of a series of external circumstances that have come up. Go with what you know. Along those same lines, strengthening what remains. That's another part of it. But go with what you know. And when you are in that place, when you are in that struggle, when you are in that window of that valley of indecision, go with what it is that God has revealed in your heart and in your spirit. Go with what it is that God has shown you so that you are able to continue forward. And even whatever that little bit is that you may have, how small and insignificant it may be, go with what you know. Because recently too, you know, God spoke something to me and He literally gave me this time frame for a certain set of things that was going to come up. And in that process, now I was still struggling a bit with, okay, is this really what God is speaking to me? Or is this me, you know, still not sure? But, you know, as time's going on, that confidence is being restored, because now going with just that bit, sometimes things need to get broken down and distilled before they get built back up. Sometimes some things have to be removed in order for something new to take its place. So, when you are in that spot, when you're in that window of indecision, or you're in that dungeon like Joseph, or you're in that dungeon like Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Imagine that. These guys here, Acts 15, the vision of the man of Macedonia, and come over and help us. And then the next thing you know, they go over there. They're trying to do what it is that God's put in front of them to do. They're trying to help people. They're doing all of that. And then in the middle of that, they now face a huge attack and their backs are ripped open, their feet are in the stocks, they're stuck in the inner cell of the prison, and in that moment, you've got to go with what you know. You've got to go with that which you've been assured of. You've got, and that is the reason why, in the midst of a difficult place in the natural, in the realm of the spirit, they were able to shift into a place of rejoicing and singing praises and hymns unto God. And all the other prisoners heard them. And in the midst of that, God, you know, did something just to mark that he was pleased and to mark that he was with them. So, you know, actually, here, let me just read you that story really quick, instead of referencing it too much. All right, so Acts 15 and 16, but let's, in Acts 15 is when they had the vision of the man of Macedonia. Or actually, let's see. No, actually, verse 10 of chapter 16, sorry. After they had seen a vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So, verse 9. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from trials. Okay, so jump down then. Verse 16, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same following Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto you the way of salvation. And this day did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach. Now, verse 19 is the key one there, that as soon as they saw that their hope of making gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. As soon as you mess with the cash cow, that's when they're ticked off at you. They don't care if you preach the gospel, but as soon as you are messing with the money, and as soon as people start losing out on that which they gained from before, that's when you're public enemy number one. So, if you jump down a little bit further, we'll just keep going here. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up and gathered against them. The magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, wakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. All right. Praise God for the reading of his word. And, you know, sometimes we see only part of our situation. We see only part of that frame that we're in. And there may not have been any other way to get to that jailer, for him to hear that message of truth, than the experience that he went through. There may not have been any other way without him seeing for himself the miracle working power of the living God for him to turn and to be saved. There may not have been any other way for that jailer to have been brought to the brink of taking his own life and of that life, because the rule of the day was, by the way, was if you were a Roman guard, if you were a Roman military person and you had charge over a prisoner, if you lost that prisoner, if that prisoner escaped, it was life for life. So if a prisoner got away and it was on your watch, then you died in place of that prisoner. So that's why they made sure that they did not ever lose a prisoner, because they would sooner kill the prisoners than ever give them the chance to escape. So it was pretty serious. Today they don't do it like that. Definitely not in the U.S. So, but back then they did. And so when this jailer saw that all the doors were open, automatically the thought in his head was, man, these guys have all got away, and he was going to take his own life rather than, you know, being executed. So he was just going to do it himself. And just before he did that, Paul stepped in and said, spare yourself. Don't, we're all here. Nobody's gone. Nobody's left. Your life is, don't hurt yourself. Now, how often have we been in those situations where the people that hurt us and that harmed us, where in our flesh, we want to see them suffer. We want them to reap what they've sown. We want something bad to happen to them because the hurt and the harm that they did to us, right? Oh, come on. You've been there. So it's a human response. But look at the place when these guys were walking in the Spirit, when they were trusting God's plan, when they'd come past that and into a deeper relationship with God, where their relationship with God was not contingent on their external circumstances. Their relationship with God was not contingent on things working out for them in this life. Their relationship with God was not contingent on everything going according to their set plan and expectations and circumstances being favorable. How many people, their relationship with God is contingent on circumstances being favorable? As long as things are favorable, they're happy. And they're happy with God. But when things go bad, then they're upset. Hey, I've been there too. But that's part of it, is that God wants to take us deeper than that. And I think we need to go through those rough experiences just to take us deeper and to realize what our walk is really based on. And I'm sure that Paul and Silas went through plenty of stuff to bring them to that point. Plenty of things to get past that surface level relationship, that surface level walk, that surface Christianity, that surface spirituality that is so base. There's nothing there. And that is the reason why they can worship God in the midst of a dungeon. They can worship God in the midst of a very difficult place. I've got worked on me with this lesson, and he showed me this several times in my life, when he showed me that, look, your reality and your relationship with the living God should not be based on your external circumstances. And usually the only way that you'll be able to really understand that is when you're in rough external circumstances, because you can know it as head knowledge when things are going well, but you will know it as heart knowledge when you're going through the fire and you're going through the struggle and you're going through the difficult time. That's when you're going to know it as heart. That's when it's going to be real. That's when it's going to really settle in. And when that life that is in you, that has raised Christ Jesus from the dead, is shining through you, that's when you see that person that is about to do themselves harm, that's really a lamb of the living God, when they're about to do that to themselves, and you can stop that, you reach out to them. You don't want them to hurt themselves, because you know they just didn't know what they were doing when they sought to harm you, when they sought to hurt you. They didn't know what they were doing. You have to get past yourself. in order to do that. We have to all get past ourselves in order to do that. Now, there is another set of people that do harm towards us, and these are the witches, these are the stalkers, these are the those that have been completely given over to the world and the world system, where they're in them there is no good intent towards the children of the living God, and their assignment, their role is purely to try to destroy that light, to try to work their way in and to suck the life out of us. That's there too. And in those situations, there's also an approach, and you can see it in the book of Acts as well, when they, Paul dealing with Bar-Jesus. There was an interesting encounter, and you know, in the middle of the power encounter there, he called him out for what he was. So this means that in every situation you are an ambassador of the living God. Now in that situation, that Bar-Jesus, he ended up blind and walking around grasping for, because he was a complete evil piece of work close to the ruler of the day, poisoning his mind. And you have to understand that those ones are out there too. And in those situations, there are times where those people need to be dealt with. We deal with them. Oh my gosh. We deal with them. In fact, we know right now that there's a series of witches and people that have tried to throw stuff this way, and they are all messed up right now. All of them. Every one of them across the board. Why? Because we sent it back. Because all that needed to happen is when God says, all right, that's it. It's done. Send it back. Send it, return to sender. And when we send it back, it straps onto them like super glue, and they get to reap exactly what they've sown, and it just stays with them. And it latches onto them so strong and so thick that, I mean, outside of repentance, they're just going to just keep crashing and burning over and over and over again. You either get right with the living God, or you die in that. Does that sound unforgiving? Does that sound mean? Or not? You know where it's coming from? You got to understand that for us, we hold nothing in our hearts against anyone. Absolutely nothing. But at the same time, we also know and realize that this is a war. And this is a spiritual war. And in the spiritual warfare that we are in, that there are those that are out there that have one express purpose, and that is to destroy the children of light and to attack those that cannot defend themselves. And they destroy and they go after innocents. And it's just like leaving a pedophile to run amok in a grade school. You wouldn't do that. You would never do that. And no person in their right mind, no person that has anything in them that's left of a soul would ever do that. No person that's not on a grease pole to hell would allow for that. So you wouldn't do that. So in the midst of that too, we also understand that there are those that serve the enemy and those that are agents of the devil, that are their express purpose out there is to destroy light and truth. And frankly, if they show up over here, this is a set that of people that know their God, that know the power they walk in. And you know, in the midst of us trying to help and to be agents of truth and light and to do that which God has for us to do, you know, and we're kind and we're courteous where we can be, but at the same time too, you know, we don't put up with that. So when people try to send things over here that shouldn't be here, you know, we've been given spiritual weapons for a reason. And those spiritual weapons are there to be used. So it's very, very, very simple. And this is our public service announcement that we put out occasionally, is just, if you don't like what God has us doing, just walk away. Just go away. Because if you have any other thing going on with you of the enemy, don't mess here, because this will destroy you. See, the truth is going to be true. The servants of righteousness are going to walk in that. They're going to walk with the living God. They're going to do what they do. And there's a point in time where as you walk with the enemy, if you walk with the enemy, if you play that game and you play on that side, you're going to run out of gas. One day somebody's going to pull your card. One day your luck is going to run out on that side. Guarantee you that. This is a great place for you to crap out. This is a great place for you to for your luck to run dry. There's several others that I know of that just you do not mess with those places, and there's a reason they continue to exist and go forward is because God's hand is on them. God's angels have charge over them. They're fierce. They're warriors. They know that which they walk in, and they live in the light and the truth. And the only time that they will ever leave or be done is when God says, all right, it's time for you to leave and be done. Just like Jesus said in John 7 and John 16, no one takes my life from me. I freely lay it down. I lay it down on my own accord, and I have the power to take it back up again. Jesus Christ laid down his life as the Spirit of God quickened him to lay down his life. He deliberately set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what was there in store for him, and went through that on purpose, nothing by chance, all of it deliberate. He goes forward like that. We go forward like that. So when we go into situations, when we go into circumstances, it's not without knowing what's coming against us. By all means, we know exactly what's coming against us. But when we go into those experiences, those circumstances, those situations, we do so following the living God. We do so laying down our lives of our own accord, of our free will, engaging with the will of God and our will aligning with His. And no one takes anything from us. But we willingly and joyfully lay it down of our own accord, and we take it back up again. We walk in that which is true. We walk in that which is real. We know that which is in us. The greatest power that anyone will ever know in this life lives inside the child of the living God. The very power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that created the universe, that created the stars in the sky, that laid it all out there and allows for us to even have conscious thought in this paradigm and in this dimension, is there in us. So in that experience of life, take joy, my brothers and sisters, because you have what you need to be able to live out a fulfilled, amazing life. And all of it, the ups and the downs and the turning around, is all part of that journey. You know, we've got brothers and sisters that have said the same, and we say the same too. The way out is the way in. You know, go within. The kingdom is within. Luke 17, 20 and 21. When Jesus was asked, where's the kingdom? You know, in fact, let's grab that one really quick. Because when you have this scripture, you know and understand that, hey, you don't need a building. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Ta-da! The kingdom of God is within you. The answer to the question, where is the kingdom of God? It is not Sunday. It is not in a building. It is not in a fellowship. It is not in a group of people. It is not by a board resolution. No, the kingdom of God is within you. It is not by opinion. It is not by a degree on the wall. The kingdom of God is within you. And as you connect with your Heavenly Father, as that is unlocked within you, and you walk that out in this life, all the experiences that you go through are going to serve His greater purpose. But you've got to trust. And when you do go through those windows of disillusion, because sometimes, hey, we've had some experiences here, and those can be things you got to work through or deal with. But in whatever you face, whenever you have disillusion, here's the thing: go with what you know. Go with what you know. Go with that which you are assured of, even as small and as little as it may be. Here's one thing you can be assured of. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you so much that He sent His Son, came to this world, died on a cross for you, for me. He paid the price for our eternal connection with Him, our salvation, in His own blood. That's how much He loves you. He loves you more than you could ever dream, imagine, know, or think. So God loves you. So that being the case, knowing that God loves you, be grateful and go with that. Know that He's going to watch out for you. And listen, as He directs you, as He leads you, as He guides you, adjust. When He shows you something different, adjust. You know, hold nothing with, you know, have a loose grip on the things of this life. Don't try to hold things too close, because, and that's another part too, is don't be too attached to anything that's going on in this life or in this world. Or just do whatever you do is unto the Lord, and let it be what it is. And trust Him, because He's in control. And He's got us all on an amazing adventure, an amazing journey. And with that, love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi, and we love you. We'll catch up with you again soon. All right. God bless you. Bye.